views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Yeah, I break away right where I should. The count. One of those big band tunes that's got one of the greatest guitar licks in the world. I think I told you folks one time the reason that I play that song and like that song is I was always unalterably opposed against guitars in a big band. And after all these years, I ran across that tune, and holy Toledo. I keep threatening to, and I will. I promise one day I will play that all the way through for you. Hello there. Good afternoon, Santa Cruz. This is Richard Quigley in for my weekly Thursday afternoon KSCO United States Freedom Fighter Forum midday news at noon show at KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz. This is his talk radio show for those folks that want to call in and give me a hard time. Call in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. Fax me at 475-2967. And if I get it in time and it's big enough that I can read it, we'll get your faxes on the air. I'll deal with those. And big announcement today. Big announcement for you today. I'm sure there will be folks all over this county real pleased to hear that there's absolutely no chance I'm going to run for governor. I was going to have a press conference to announce that, but it occurred to me that they'd start asking the tough questions, and I've never been real good with the tough questions, so you'll just have to settle for knowing that I guess I won't be throwing my hat in the ring this election. Special that it is. So that gets that out of the way. I've met my obligation to keep the public informed of my latest goings on. I don't know, is today the day they lowered the flag for Bob Hope to half staff? I've been hearing some comments about that one way and the other. I think that's kind of interesting. I think most of the people that followed my activities here in the county know that there's a while back I got involved in suing the county over the flag protocol downtown. They had a bad habit of lowering that United States flag for folks that were clearly not qualified by the standard that I'd been learned to regard. And my complaint was that if you lower that flag for people that are not deserving of a flag being lowered, that it really, really does. Not only does it not dignify their passing, but it also diminishes the value of the efforts and reputation and deservedness, I guess, for lack of a better word. Deservedness a word? Well, anyway, of the people that actually do deserve it. So, Bob Hope, I get a phone call and they say, well, they're getting ready to lower the flags at half staff. The president's ordered it for Bob Hope. And, you know, I don't know what's happening to us. It's like these things are all based on honor. It's what I found out when I sued the county about lowering that flag. Judge McAdams sat there and it's my sense about him, and I've not always found him to be the most square-way judge. He's not my favorite on the bench, let's put it that way, but I really had the feeling that the day that I was in there trying to sue these people to just stop lowering that flag every time that the county administrator wanted to for whatever she thought was important, I had a feeling that he really did want to, he wanted to step in and do something about that. And as he explained it, his hands were tied, because if you read the flag code, you look it up and you find out how those decisions are made and by whom. Research will show you that it's filled with the word should. Should do it for this, should do it for that, should be this person make the decision, should. And as Judge McAdams explained, that leaves him pretty much powerless because there's no way for him to effectively write any kind of orders to mandate a should. And since the flag code, I don't think anybody ever considered a time where honor would not be the driving principle behind those choices at the time that they were making the flag codes and the various other awards. And so, yeah, it relies on honor, and no, honor is not something that's in long supply down there at that county building, unfortunately. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about honor a little bit. My personal feelings about lowering the flag for Bob Hope is that one of the people that qualifies for that type of an honor are dignitaries of substantial import. And I believe that anybody that has followed that man's career and knows what he's done relative to entertaining the troops and his work for the troops, USO, going over there and entertaining, will agree that he's probably, he's a legend. I mean, he's an icon, he's a legend. He was a man that gave a whole lot to those young men overseas, a lot of them. The only entertainment they had, the last entertainment they had, was a Bob Hope U.S. show. And so I don't have a problem with that at all. I think he's truly deserving. Not so much for courage, perhaps, but certainly for honor. He was an honorable man. And the stories about him are legend. I'm not going to add my little collection to it because there are just so many people who told the stories better. But the reason I decided to pick this subject today was I have a friend who is a two-time Bronze Star award winner. I guess you would call it a winner. He was decorated twice during Vietnam. Bronze Stars, two of them. Blown up real bad in I think probably the second effort, the one that got him the second Bronze Star. He was blown up pretty bad. And today is a disabled veteran, but he's only like 5 or 10% disabled, and he's a truck driver. Some of you might remember Steve Bianco. He was on the Saturday special with me here a couple months ago, or a month ago, when Michael let me come in and do that two-hour stint. Anyway, I was talking to Steve the other night, and it was these Bronze Stars are an interesting medal. These war veterans that have been decorated are interesting people. The award process is an interesting process, and I'm going to hit on some of the stuff that I find interesting, and I'm going to hit on some of the stuff that I find abominable. But Mr. Bianco called me the other night. We were talking about things, and I found out that he had these Bronze Stars from his brother, and he to this day is just livid with his brother for having told somebody that his brother was going through some paperwork in his house, going through some files, and he ran across the two certificates for the Bronze Stars. And his own brother didn't know about this. He'd been out of the military since the 70s, and he'd never told his family that he had these Bronze Stars, and his brother found those certificates in his file cabinet and told me about it. And Steve was just livid. He was just livid because it just, if you know any Vietnam vets, if you are a Vietnam vet, you'll find that the guys that really did the stuff over there don't spend a lot of time talking about it. The nature of war is that it's ugly. And the nature of heroes is that they generally get caught in a situation where they act in a way that they think is reasonable and walk away kind of confused as to why they ended up heroes. I know that's Steve's story. And incidentally, I pushed him a couple of times to try to tell me what he had to do to get those Bronze Stars, because my idea that you just don't stumble into a Bronze Star. You got to do something. I mean, you got to jump up and save somebody. You got to act out something real courageous to be considered for and get one of those. So while we're talking the other night, he mentioned to me that a young woman that got in that truck wreck over there when them guys got lost out in the desert, Jessica Lynch, is it? Received, in addition to a Purple Heart, which there's no doubt that she deserved, and a Prisoner of War medal, which there's no question, you know, as she was a POW. But they also gave her a Bronze Star. And Steve said that he wished that they had given her the Congressional Medal of Honor with a presidential citation. Just load her up with the highest honors of all so that maybe somebody would understand how he and probably most other Bronze Star holders felt when she was given a Bronze Star for what happened to her. Because it's like Bianco said, he'd always felt that he hadn't really done anything, but he took a lot of pride in having those Bronze Stars because of the other people that had them. And you look to the people that had earned them and the people that had gotten them and what they'd gotten them for, and it gave him a sense of dignity and honor about himself, and it felt good to him. And the contrast between, and he didn't bring it all up in the conversation, he just pointed out that he wished they'd given her the Congressional Medal of Honor so that everybody would figure out how inappropriate he felt that that was for her to get a Bronze Star. And worse yet, that the guys that went in to pull her out of there to save her from that hospital, once they stripped away all the hype and stuff about what took place, it seems like the only resistance they met in going to rescue that young woman from that hospital was a bunch of people standing in the hallway pointing to the room where she was. And no guns fired, no guns present, except for the Americans who went in to pull her out. And they got Silver Stars of Valor. And it just lowers all the standards. It just lowers all the standards. And I get torn between trying to figure out if this is some sort of conspiracy to destroy the people's understanding and appreciation and desire for all those fundamental principles on which this nation was founded, or whether it's just some people are just too stupid not to realize the damage that these kind of things do when you diminish an honor, how much harm it can do. And it's frustrating. I looked up Valor, by the way, because Valor is one of the things that they give you your Silver Star for. The guys that saved her got the Silver Star with Valor. Courage and boldness, as in battle. Bravery is the definition that we get. The internet has some stuff on Silver Stars. You can go in there and read the details of what's normally required. But were those guys scared that went in that hospital? Well, sure, but it was a calculated risk, and they pretty much knew that there wasn't any resistance in there when they went in. It's definitely not the kind of thing that you'd normally think people would get that kind of an honor for. As far as Ms. Lynch goes, as I understand what happened, they were running in supplies. The truck got lost, got in a wreck. All of her injuries, unlike what we were told in the beginning or led to believe, were not the result of torture. They were the result of a truck wreck. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't feel sorry for this young girl, but not anymore. I mean, I wish she hadn't had to go through all that, but I think the compensation package for her is a little fat. I mean, she's going to have movies. She's going to have books. She's going to have, when she came home, she had brass bands playing and all these people out there greeting her and flags flying everywhere and all this kind of stuff. And I'll revert back to Mr. Bianco's memory of his return as a wounded Vietnam veteran, getting off the airplane and being ushered from the plane into the troop carrier over to the hospital and stuff, and the recollection that he carries from that. And he repeated it just last night as we were talking about this. Of this beautiful little hippie girl standing up against that fence with a sign, protesting, baby killer sign or something, trying to spit at these guys that were being wheeled by not 50 foot away. And that was his welcome home. Double Bronze Star, Purple Heart, Vietnam veteran, drafted, by the way, not a volunteer. And that's his recollection of the price that he paid for this country. And there's something wrong with that. There's just something wrong with that. I don't know the reasons. Call in lines 479-1080, 477-1340. If you've got an opinion on these stars and perhaps Ms. Lynch and her deservedness, you want to take me on about that, that's okay. Look forward to hearing from you. This is, after all, a talk radio show. Going through the internet, punching in Bronze Star, Jessica Lynch and all, I ran across a little post on a bulletin board. And it pretty much reflects my sentiments on the thing. I think better than I can say it. He wrote, this guy wrote, "I hate to rain on anyone's parade, but how did I know Jessica Lynch would get a Bronze Star? Because she's in the Army? I mean, when I was in, no Marine, I got a Bronze Star. No Marine got a Bronze Star unless they did some serious stuff, if you know what I mean. And if a person received a Silver Star, well, that person was pretty much a bona fide hero. I know when I was in Vietnam, the Army gave out Bronze Stars for excellence on latrine duty. Good to know they are keeping the tradition alive. And I'm not really sure about the excellence on latrine duty. But like he says, I'm glad she made it out okay and that she'll be okay. And granted, she went through some trauma. But a Bronze Star, come on, for what? I don't see it. Sorry. Is it just me or am I overlooking something here? And that's my question to you folks today. Is it just me or am I overlooking something here? Honor, bravery, courage. Oh, by the way, when I was looking up valor, I looked up honor, and I found an interesting line. This probably isn't going to run my popularity way up. Honor, principled uprightness of character, personal integrity, a code of integrity, dignity, and pride, chiefly among men, that was maintained in some societies as in feudal Europe by force of arms. Chiefly among men. You know, honor is something that I think tends to be testosterone more than estrogen driven. Sorry, ladies. It's just one of those things I don't think falls way high on the list of things that ladies do, is concern themselves with honor. I'm trying not to be sexist, and I'm trying not to be rude. But we does have our differences, folks. You can't deny that. And I fear that that's one of them. A little background on the Bronze Star, in case you folks are interested. It was a product of World War II, and it was General George Marshall who virtually invented the Bronze Star during World War II. And he was lobbying Franklin Delano Roosevelt as the Allied liberation of Europe dragged on through the cold winter months of 44. Marshall wrote that the commanders needed a medal like the Bronze Stars to recognize the hardships and sacrifices of the ground troops. And what he was going up against was the Army Air Force's Air Medal that they used to give by the flyboys over there that were in trouble. They were doing their courageous stuff in the air. And he had three suggestions to keep the thing from ever getting watered down. First thing was, he said that they should make the award immediately at the time so as to sustain or stimulate morale. He said there would be a minimum of misapplication if done in the field at the time there are too many eyewitnesses present. Secondly, permit these young men who are suffering the hardships and casualties to enjoy the ribbons, which mean so much to them while in uniform. They can't wear them once they're in civilian attire. And then keep a balance among the services involved in battle, the best to the man who's actually in the fighting. Something else less impressive to the men who labor behind the lines. And if bringing up supplies isn't laboring behind the lines, then that's just, I miss my guess. Roosevelt wasn't big on medals. Roosevelt wrote, I worry about the multiplicity of medals, he said. The danger of this proposed Bronze Star medal is that if it is to be awarded, the whole tendency would be to give it to people who have merely gone through an operation with normal performance of duty. Hello? Great insight from FDR. That scares me. I've never held that opinion of him. But, yeah, when they do what they're expected to do, and with enough luck not to get wounded. Roosevelt's biggest worry was that the quantity of medals would dilute quality. There's always the danger that we may cheapen the value of such things if we handed out too many of them. Amen, FDR. Got one right. So what are you thinking, folks? Is I'm just sitting here making a big to-do over nothing again? Or should we be taking a little bit closer look at some of the foundations of our medals, and should we be doing something about restoring the sense of honor that it takes to administer a government like ours? Where are the discussions of these things in our schools? Where are the discussions of these things in the public? Where are the discussions of these things on the radio? Hear some from time to time, but not nearly enough. So, rattling my papers around. Oh, yeah. And one of my favorite all-time hero stories is Ira Hayes. I I actually had to go to the web this morning because his name dropped out of my head, and this is a guy that lived on a reservation right next to where I grew up. Ira Hayes was one of those guys that was, he was not only a hero to my family, but the Native Americans that I grew up with as a kid used to travel over the reservation and visit their parents in those wiki-ups and stuff out there on the reservation. That was a great life for a young man. They were big fans of Ira Hayes. And like most heroes, now, in case you don't remember, he was the Native American Pima Indian, I believe it was Pima, Apache Pima, but he was Pima Indian that was photographed on Iwo Jima and ultimately died of exposure face down in a ditch on the reservation in Arizona, 1954, 55, somewhere in there. I know I was somewhere in what they call today middle school at the time that happened. What an incredible story his is. They used to have, when I was a kid, they had a show called You Were There. And how many, everybody remembers that? Raise your hand. There you go. You Were There. I don't know why they haven't brought that thing back. Maybe it's because the government hasn't figured out how to use it as a propaganda tool. But that used to be a pretty good show. What they'd do is they would move you to these historical events, move you into them, and you would meet all the characters involved and everything from the Alamo. They did one on... they did one on Ira Hayes. I remember that one. They did a lot of them back during those years. It was all black and white, early days of television, live stuff, great stuff. You Were There. So that's my rant today on metals. Obviously, the interest is relatively low, which is okay with me. It keeps me from having to move as many controls. What I'm going to do now is do my traditional break at this time of the day. We're going to cover some of this expense with a few commercials. Well, Rosemary, could you have found a stack of shorter commercials? Hello. 3 30-second commercials, and I'm back. I didn't even have time to adjust my chair. Okay, we're back. Well, by the way, Ben called in while that little rant was going on, the first part of the show there, and the quote is, I believe that the Bronze Star for Jessica is a phony star for a phony war. God love you, Ben. I hope that one day the sun will shine in your life. I really do. And Lord, Ace is going to save me today. I will not go callless on this day. What a sweet lady. Asa, talk to me.
I just figured I was just gonna blow you away because.
Go ahead. Did you hear about the transparent burkas?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some see-through burkas now. They came back against me pretty strong.
Not a bad idea. I think plaid would be nice myself, but anyway. You brought to mind Steve Allen. He was the last person. Remember his program he had, A Famous Man, and Heroic Times and Honor and things. He had a little brief time on television. But he, one of his things, as I remember, now I don't remember everything at all these days.
Yeah, well, if you've been listening to the show regular, and I suspect you have, you know I ain't real good at remembering all that stuff either.
Anyway, but... you just made me homesick for Steve Allen and his ideas of what he wanted to introduce to the public. He kept having these little things of bringing things like honor and decency and, whatever else you were talking about. I just wanted you to know and to give you comfort when you're lying awake at night that you reminded Asa of Steve Allen.
Asa, the reason I love you, dear, is because the only thing that keeps us apart is time. I look forward to talking to you again. Thanks much for the call, honey.
God bless.
Okay. What a sweetheart. And George calls, it writes from the Silva, how about Clinton giving all the Army personnel brown berets? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this guy wasn't a military guy, folks. You know, you couldn't expect a lot of military intelligence out of him. In fact, I distinctly remember a fit being thrown by not one, but several guys that I knew that had been in Vietnam. And in fact, one guy was an old World War II vet. went ballistic the first time he ever saw Bill Clinton start to salute somebody. He draft dodging, and that's about as far as I could go on the radio, but man, he wasn't happy about that one, let me tell you. Yeah, we survived the first Clinton. Let's hope we never have to figure out how to survive the second. Yeah, but, you know, that's where people like that come from. That's how we end up with people like that being in charge of our whole nation. We have stopped paying attention to things such as honor. Doing things for the right reason. You know, we've lost our moral rudder. I keep talking about that. I keep pounding on that. It frustrates me that people's word is not their bond anymore. You know, I don't know how that happened. I wish I could tell you how that happened. I wish I could tell you how to fix it so that we could just throw the switch together. We could throw the switch, and we get to quit living with all this manipulation of our lives by people that want our work, want our work energy, want our money, want our devotion, want our kids to go over and kill people for them. That, you know, the discussions just aren't there anymore. And I don't think it's because of where I live, because I don't remember that when I moved to Santa Cruz, suddenly honor, truth, principles, all those things lost their meaning. I don't think it's a local problem. I don't think it's a California situation. I think it's just the country as a whole, and I don't get it. It's like, what is the benefit to anybody for people not to deal factually with the world around them? I can tell you what the benefits are to an honorable life. I can tell you the value of truth. I mean, we all know that. I don't know. I get so tired jumping up on this pulpit and doing that routine. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'll shift gears. If I got to talk about that, I'll just talk about my new motorcycle. For those of you who didn't catch it, by the way, I have a new motorcycle. My face hurts. My face has been hurting now for better than 2 weeks. I have cheekitis. I don't know what, but I can't stop smiling. The whole time I'm on it, I got this grin on my face, and when I get off it, I don't stop smiling for 15, 20 minutes after, and then all I gotta do is look out in the parking lot. It's just a beautiful machine, and if you've never ridden a motorcycle, you don't know what they mean and what they can do to the spirit of a free man. But let me tell you, it's just wonderful. And of course, on the list of good news for all those folks that are just love my helmet loss stories, I got a ticket in Watsonville on Thursday. Thank you very much, Officer Ridgeway. Nice officer, by the way. Don't get me wrong. Good guy. I'm totally ready to promote him. He can move right up the ladder. Problem is, he doesn't know the difference between a quick code and a vehicle code, and until he gets that down, he ought not to be writing helmet tickets. I heard a rumor that they're writing helmet tickets down in Capitola, and I've been thinking about maybe stopping down there and saying hello, because everybody knows that I dearly love police encounters of the helmet law kind, and if they're going to step up and want to become stars, I'm more than happy to accommodate those boys, since they're the ones that started me in the first place. January 19th, 1985, 12:34 p.m., I believe, during the issuance of citation number 65466, Officer Charles Crompton just did not have the ability to keep his hands to himself. And it took me 3.5 years to get the decision out of Bill Kelsey that changed the rest of my life. And Kelsey found that Crompton was, in fact, responsible after he'd been lying about it all that time, and awarded me $1. And that's how you got me the way I am today. I couldn't keep a promise to a bad cop that he'd learn to keep his hands to himself. So it would seem only right that if they want to write helmet tickets, I go right down to Capitola. Maybe that boy and I can meet again, because I guarantee you, folks, when it happened back in 85, I know what you know about the law. But it's substantially later. It's been almost 20 years. And that he don't want to be stepping out there and grabbing me today. In any case, Paul called in from Capitola, wants to talk about a phony war. Well, Paul, welcome to KSCO.
Hey, I just wanted to comment. I've been calling it a phony war.
Can I even talk about what he said? I don't put him on the air anymore.
No, I know. I'm just saying it's a bit strong to call it a phony war, I would say. It's just that I don't know if I would agree that it's phony, but I just wanted to, the Congress is supposed to declare war.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to have debates, and this is where we talk about our exit strategy, how we enter, how many people we're going to pledge. But we didn't go through that anymore. We don't go through that. Now we kind of just enter and start arguing about, God, we got body bags coming home. But, I mean, if we would have put those checks and balances back in place or follow them, they would kind of lead to more civilized as war can get, I guess. Yeah.
There's a lot of reason to complain about what happened. And I told people when this thing first started, after we committed troops, I backed off my anti-war position because I was not going to be caught on the side that was not supportive of those troops.
But
the fact of the matter is, I said then and I'll say it now. Now what those people that were standing out there holding the no war signs, now what those war protesters should be doing, and everybody knows how much I love should, but if they want to impress me, what they need to do is get to working on trying to see how to keep it from happening again.
Agreed.
We don't need another setup for them to be justified in protesting. What we need is the things in place to keep it from happening again.
I think those protests just make them feel, I think those things are just make them feel good more than do any good whatsoever, you know?
Well, it's the only way some of them ever get recognized outside of their close circle of friends, you know? Oh, I saw myself on television carrying a sign, but... But if they were serious about that today, right now today, they'd be working somewhere to see what they could do to make sure that no one man can start up that kind of machinery again without the consent of the Congress.
And agreed, and that's why they put that in there. And I guess that's where I want to leave it. But keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you very much. And one more note on that. Hung up on the wrong guy. Hung up on myself. One more note on that, and it's hardly a phony war because those bodies that are coming back from over there are not phony dead. Those young men and women are really dead, and I'm not happy about what's going on over there. And God bless those folks. Keep their heads down. Let's get that mess cleaned up. Get out of there. And when you get back, if you have a Bronze Star, I hope it means more than you got in a truck wreck and rescued from a hospital. Caller wants to know what kind of bike I got. Yeah, black. I'm an iconoclast. I don't care that it's a Harley-Davidson. It just happens to be. But it is the single most beautiful thing that's ever been on two wheels. I love it with a passion I haven't had since I gave up women. Ken, cell phone in Salinas. Talk to me about the war. Whoop, I got Jim in Santa Cruz.
Hello, Craig.
Okay, Jim, let's do you. I'm sorry, I'm reading these things in order. What's going on, Jim?
Oh, I just wanted to call up and thank you and commend you for bringing up the flag issues. I've seen a number of really, interesting, I guess would be the politest way. Back about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I'm not sure exactly when it was, I was on my way to a doctor's appointment, which took me past the Loudon Nelson Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to be Earth Day or Earth Day Week or something non-consequential. But anyway, they were flying the Earth Day flag above the Stars and Stripes.
Oh, man.
I was on the way to a doctor's appointment. My anger at the time told me that I needed to engage in some civil disobedience.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But I went on and kept my appointment. And then as soon as I was still steaming after I got out of the appointment, but I made the appropriate calls to the local establishment. But... that whole thing in this town has a very checkered past. I remember in Gulf War I, for instance, I think if you can remember back after the earthquake.
Well, sure I do.
For quite a while, what used to be Ford's at the corner of Pacific Avenue and Cathcart down there.
Right, I know what you're talking about.
They had demolished the Ford store.
Yeah.
And the lot was empty, so the war protesters decided that that's where they would hold their anti-Gulf War protest, and they set up a stage. And the mayor of the city happened to be addressing this large crowd when someone in the audience decided to burn the flag. The mayor stopped his comments just for the purpose of advising the not a word about the flag burning, but advising the people in the audience if they would not step back, because we want to remain safe. We don't want anybody injured.
Right.
And so that's the sort of attitude that you have in this this town, and I certainly agree with you.
It freaks me out. And I got to tell you, that Earth Day thing, I would have definitely made the papers myself. And I have a kink in my head about that. I go completely nuts. I mean, I do not have a rational thought relative to flag desecration. If you're not going to display it right, don't display it. And I go completely nuts. Earth Day over? Oh, no. I would have been there. If there had been 20 hippies trying to drag me away from that flagpole, and it would have taken every one of them. I don't give a damn how old I am. And I'm not saying that you should have done that. I'm just saying that these guys want to play that kind of stuff. They better hope I'm not riding by, because if I show up, there'll be hell to pay. I won't put up with that.
Yeah, well, there was someone in city government who decided that the flag would be lowered to half staff for the passing of one Mr. Doug Grant.
Yeah.
And
I know. They do that a lot, sir, and there's nothing we can do about that. Jim, it's one of those things, like I said, the flag code says should, not shall, and you just can't, you cannot force people to be honorable.
Yep. To lower the flag for Doug Grant was a desecration to the flag, in my opinion.
And to him. To destroy the meaning of that honor in somebody's name dishonors them. It's just like that. So it dishonors everybody involved. It's the wrong thing to do.
Yes, particularly when he was present at the flag burning that I just mentioned to you earlier.
Yeah, see?
Anyway, well, thanks for bringing it up.
Okay, you bet. Thank you for calling, Jim. And now I'll get to Ken over. Selena's on a cell phone, are you?
Yeah, I got a question on your caller before last.
Okay.
He was talking about the phony war.
Well, that was the message that came in from Ben over in Salinas. But go ahead. It's not a phony war, but go ahead.
Yeah, but doesn't the commander-in-chief have the right to put his armies and military into a conflict for 90 days? And then he has another 90 days before Congress has to take action upon that?
Yeah, clearly that's the case today.
And now how long did the conflict this time in the Gulf War take? From the time to start to the time the commander-in-chief called a ceasefire of major operations.
Well, I wasn't keeping track.
See, so if it was less than 90 days, they didn't have to make a declaration of war.
Right.
But he already had a declaration for him to use military force if he felt necessary.
That's correct. That is the way that things have been moved. And my point in bringing that up was that I was trying to explain to these war protesters that do not like the fact that George W. appeared to have all that power to do by himself, just head out that 90-day thing you're talking about was available to him.
Right.
If they're really concerned, then it would seem to me that today they would be focusing on seeing that that power could not be applied like that in the future. Now, there is an effort that I would consider consistent with their desires. But standing out on the street corner, diminishing the value of the contribution of those troops over there doesn't do it for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. I know exactly what you mean. Over in Watsonville, I stopped by a protester during the conflict. And he says, well, they're fighting for oil. I said, no, they're fighting for their country to free another people.
Yeah.
So they can have the same freedoms that we have.
Yeah.
Those
folks get a little twisted down and they get lost in their own reality. But I hear what you're saying. That background noise is eating me up, Ken. I'm going to have to let you go. But thanks a million for calling the show.
All right, thanks, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Ken calling from Salinas. Whoa, we're running down. If I can do a two-minute dance, we can get right to the hour and everything will be clean. Hold on a second. Watch this. That's a quick drink of water. Time's got a little dry there. You guys have been talking to me a lot today. Okay, well, that takes care of this one. We've just about got this one in the box. I didn't get a chance to listen to the last Saturday special. I've been offline most of the week this week. I'm going through my notes here to find out if there's something that I meant to tell you that I haven't. Let me see. You know, I'm not running for governor. Okay, we got that. Oh, yeah. One of the reasons that that I won't be running for governor is because I didn't want to eliminate myself from the possibility of running for the Board of Supervisors, because I've been thinking about doing that in the next election down there in the Aptos of the Silver Beach area, for no other reason than I like the idea of being able to talk to Supervisor Peary. She's not been one of those people that I could talk to as a supervisor. So maybe as a candidate, I'll have an opportunity to ask her some of the questions that I think are important to the people that live in this community. Like, why the hell can our young people afford to raise a family here? And what is the Board of Supervisors thinking about doing on that level? And such questions as that, you know, my own self-serving, self-interest stuff. The battle continues down at the shopping center in Aptos. I'll be in next week to talk some more about what the progress on that one is. And I'll go ahead and let the caller know that the actual brand name of that motorcycle I got is Harley Davidson. I don't know that that's what makes it the most incredible riding machine I've ever been on, but it most certainly does make my day that it's sitting out there waiting for me right now. And with that in mind, I'm going to go out there and climb on it. This has been Richard Quigley, United States Freedom Fighter Forum, at KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz. Look forward to seeing you folks next week. Thank you, Michael.